upon your word to do the right thing. And I pray that we wouldn't make excuses or attempt to bend the rules, but that we would see clearly what you want from us on some of these issues. May we hear from you and then do in Yeshua's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, you all know how I'm an expert in titles for my teachings, right? I'm very creative, such as Immersion Part 3 or Immersion Part 4 or the Book of John chapter, you know, those kinds of creative titles. Well, today is different. I have today my best all-time title for a message, without doubt. It's also the longest. All right, here it is. Which witch is the wicked witch and why she can't find a happy medium? My best one of my life. No, get this CD. Which witch is the wicked witch? All of them, by the way, okay? And why she can't find a happy medium? Well, there aren't any, and we'll tell you why in a minute. Of course, we're talking about Halloween. I have not done that in this congregation. I've done this in other places, and we need to do it. We need to do it because it's so simple. First of all, ignorance abounds. Not in this room, but you see, you can get this CD and take it to people and educate them on some of these things, especially parents, that don't know what we're talking about. Leviticus 23. Okay, there we have the feasts of the Lord. Okay, the Moedim, the appointed times when God meets with us. But there are other feasts of a different Lord who also wants to meet with you at his appointed times. Aha. Are you following me? Okay, I hope so. Halloween is an appointed time that the Lord of darkness would like to meet with you. And lots of disguises to make it look nice. All right? So my first question is, are you opening the door for that meeting? Are you opening that door? See, we began this morning by John chapter 10. Yeshua says, I am the door. Well, what door are you opening? What door are you opening? Is there an entry at this holiday for the occult to come into your life? Okay, Torah strongly, I'll tell you how strong in just about 1 minute, strongly reminds parents that our children are not to assimilate into pagan society. I mean, those are strong statements. The Shema is just one, but there are some really strong ones. We are called to be holy, to be set apart, separated unto Him, not to be a part of the world. I mean, Paul's teaching in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay? Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to be different. We're to be different. The Moedim, or the Feast of the Lord, are a part of how we're different. And that's one thing that sets us apart. Every one of those things talks about God and is prophetic about the Messiah. This holiday, okay, oh, first of all, parents. A lot of this is for you who have kids. Parents, are you aware of the origins of this not-so-harmless holiday? Say, oh, it's harmless. I don't think so. I might step on toes today. Stick them out there. All right? Stick them out there. This is when the world holds a festival to honor the powers of darkness. Why would you want to do that? Just think about it, okay? In the United States, where we live, it's the third most popular party event. And you think you know what the other ones might be, huh? Guess what? Christmas is not on the list. Really? What's the second biggest party event?
Super Bowl.
Yes, Super Bowl. And the other one is New Year's Eve. Again, all the revelry, see? Let's take a look at the history, a brief look. Lots of information about this. The holiday originated with the Celts or Celts. We can divide the room on the pronunciation. I'll just say it the way I want, okay? The Celts or the Celts, okay? Who occupied what is now France, Germany, England, Scotland, and Ireland as far back as 1000 BC. That's the time of King David. So biblically, we go back to the time of David when this was going on in northern Europe, okay?
They worshipped nature. What is humorous to me is that our government is bringing in laws that are going back to this very thing about elevating nature and the animals and the plants and downgrading man, which is what witchcraft teaches, by the way. Okay, and by the way, they talk about nature, not creation. See, we talk about creation and link to that the Creator. They talk about nature, Mother Nature, all this stuff, okay? They worship nature, giving it supernatural and mystic qualities, okay, through the occultic practices called witchcraft. Wicca is one of the groups today. There are several, but Wicca is one of those. In the Navy, I had to do some dealings with Wicca and so on, and it's the nightmare of the commanding officer. Okay, my job was to keep CNN from coming to the gate and filming all this stuff. Some other time, we'll tell you those stories about how they were demanding their rights. Okay, and we're going, how do we legally keep this from happening on the base? And we did. But some other time, we'll talk about that. Gee, you mean we hindered the free exercise of religion? Yeah, we stopped witchcraft from being on the base. Yep, that's what we did, exactly. So, you know, today we're looking at Mother Earth. Let's look at the Creator of the Earth. The Celtic priests were known as Druids. Okay, the area where they came from was conquered by Rome. That's where you get the connection to the church in the Middle Ages. Conquered by Rome and became part of the Roman Empire. Greek historians from about 200 BC, early writings from Ireland, and the writings of Julius Caesar and Tacitus, Romans, give us a lot of information about the Druids and their religious practices, and they're still with us today, by the way, just called by different names. The word Druid means magician, or one who knows, or one who knows mysteries. You go into mysticism. Be careful of mysticism. Mysticism is that we've had it through here over the years. It's the attraction of knowing secret things. Look at the revealed stuff, okay? Look at the revealed stuff. It'll keep you really busy, okay? Knowing the secret things. But then when you know, oh, I know the secret things. You know what? It's a bunch of fill in the blank, okay? Some other, we'll work on the Hebrew words later. One who knows the mysteries. November 1st, we're getting there, huh? Was the Celtic New Year. So October 31st was New Year's Eve for the Celts. It was their great festival honoring the Lord of the Dead. Honoring, who is that? You know who that is, don't you? Honoring the Lord of the Dead. We honor the Lord of life. I hope you see that we're the opposite of this. We honor the Lord of life. Druids used magic, trickery, to place curses. They put curses on people. They still do. And places. Their goal was to kill people. Isn't that nice? Kill people or cause storms or harm or put obstacles in people's way. Hindrances with these curses. People still do that. People still do that to us, to you, to me, sometimes by name. Are you aware of that? There are witches covens who meet and pray against us. When we lived in Reno, a witch who had come to the Lord, it came to our Bible study, and we were sharing. We have this little problem around 3 in the morning. We wake up, we can't sleep, we're agitated. And the one who used to be a witch says, well, do you know what we do in our coven? At 3 in the morning, we pray against the pastors of this community by name, and you were on the list. I go, whoa, okay. So they're alive and well and coming against us. And sometimes they come among us and walk among us. Okay, and in disguise for a while, and then it's made known. Stories about that a different time, but it's reality. It's not just some fantasy, make-believe. It is very, very true and real. They believe the souls of the dead who died during this year, are in hell, and they're right about that, by the way, but can only be released through human sacrifice. Whoops. Human sacrifice. They still do that? Are you aware? or you will be in about 30 seconds, that there were more satanic ritual murders every year than the people who die in drunk driving accidents. Are you 60,000 plus a year? Satanic ritual murders, the same as drunk drivers? It's a big thing. It's a big thing. The souls of these people can only be released if the Lord of the Dead, and you know who that is pleased with the sacrifice. These souls awaiting judgment are released for one night each year, October 31st. These spirits, they teach, come to the houses of the living. This is what they teach, okay? The houses of the living. And they can bring harm, even death, if they're not appeased. So, they carved faces of demons on pumpkins and put candles in them to keep the demons away. And placed them on porches and in windows and so on to keep the evil spirits away. That was the purpose of the jack-o'-lantern. To help appease this great array of ghosts, witches, warlocks, spirits, and so on, who were set on harm, parents would take their children to one another's house to gather food for the wicked spirits. Do you see where this stuff came from? These evil spirits were supposed to play harmful tricks on humans and cause supernatural manifestations, especially fear. Look at the holiday. All the things on making people afraid. Why do you want to make somebody afraid? You know, we worship the Lord, the Prince of Peace. His opposite brings fear. He brings shalom. He brings shalom. They would do harmful tricks unless they received a treat. That's where that came from. So the words trick or treat actually mean food or curse. It means food or curse. What's it going to be? The dead return this time, according to their theology, to mingle amongst the living on the eve of October 31st. And they want you to give them a treat, or they will do a trick. In other words, bring harm. That's where the trick-or-treat thing actually came from. The Druids and their practices are still with us today through in many forms of witchcraft, not just Wicca, others as well. You sit down with a Wiccan, boy, it sounds like everything's really nice. They do nice things. You know, they treat the environment good. They don't harm anybody. Oh, except for that knife on the table. What's that knife, that great big knife? What's that for again? Oh, that's just for ceremonies. Really? What kind of ceremonies? Oh, well, you know, it's just... guess what the knife is for. Okay. This night is dedicated to satanic expression and activity all over the world. All over the world. On this night, animal sacrifices are made. Not just, we say, well, that's in the Bible. Not that kind. These are people's pets. Well, not theirs, yours. Your pets become some of the sacrifices. Not their children, yours. You don't think that's true? It's true. It's true. That's where the whole thing came from. In the Kids King of Indianapolis, there would be razor blades, poison, drugs. They put drugs in. Needles, things to hurt kids. Why would anybody want to hurt little kids? They do. They do. It was used to harm children as a tribute to Satan. Why would you want to celebrate this day? Satanists and witches celebrate Halloween as the most important holiday and believe that satanic power and their own powers of evil are at their height on that day. On that day. It's the highest, they call it a Shabbat, by the way. It's the highest Shabbat that they have, and it's the beginning of their year. It's the beginning of the witchcraft year. You see the counterfeit? God gives us these blessings, these appointed, anointed times. Satan does the opposite, the exact opposite. So how did we get here? Where'd this stuff, how'd it get here in the U.S.? Okay, the definition of the word Halloween, it's from the term All Hallows' Eve, the eve of All Saints' Day, which is a church holiday that came in the Middle Ages, again, through Rome. See the connection of Rome with the Roman Empire? And what they did with all of those things, they combined pagan holidays to try to make it something good. And it doesn't work that way. It ends up something bad. In the Middle Ages, the church established a festival to honor the dead, to pray for the dead. We don't do that. We remember our loved ones. Okay, we remember them, but this is a little bit different. So they called it All Saints Day or All Hallows Day. And this is All Hallows Eve or Halloween. Pope Gregory III, the year was around 740 AD, is the one who brought this in. About three popes later, they made it stronger, okay? But it's a day to pray for the dead. Our founding fathers, what'd they think of this? Do you know this? Our founding fathers refused to permit Halloween from being celebrated in the United States. They did not allow the celebration because it was a pagan celebration, a pagan holiday. They said, we will not do that. Boy, they're turning over in their graves right now, aren't they? Go and vote Tuesday. Vote. We need to get back to what those guys were about, what those guys were all about. I think the statistics are that 75% of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and the first House and Senate form of government, 75% were ordained ministers. Talk about the separation of church and state. Wait a minute. That's not what they mean today is not what they meant at all. Okay, they brought in biblical values. They weren't the country founded on biblical values. And now we're not only in the minority, they make fun of us. Go to the polls. Vote. There are people who want to change that. Get them in office. Get them in office. The holiday came to America in about the year 1840, just before the Civil War, with a large group of Irish immigrants. Halloween is a national holiday in Ireland, where the Druids came from. Okay, but it didn't catch on here until around 1900. It's recent. It's recent. From a believer's perspective, and I can go down the list. I've been in places and ministries where, you know, you can easily get caught up into this and say, well, they have haunted houses to scare people. Then you get attracted at the end. And they dress up and all, you know, why do you want to induce fear in someone? Then what do we do with our kids then? You can think of something really fun to go and do with your kids, okay? Do that. And you say, well, what about dressing up? We do that at Hanukkah and at Purim. Okay, that's when we do that. Have fun. Don't do it then. Take your kids somewhere and have fun with them. You can think of something, I'm sure. All right? But don't take them where they're going to be scared. Why do you want your kids to be scared? From a believer's perspective, God specifically forbids the practice of anything in the realm of the occult in any form of witchcraft or sorcery. He said, the people who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's what he said. Turn to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of these nations. That word abominations means detestable acts. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Leave anybody out in that list? Okay, it's all satanic, every single bit. What about white witches? Wait a minute now. When I was a youth pastor in Bible study, I had a white witch come once. A white witch, she says, yeah, I cast good spells. A lie of the enemy. Okay, no such thing. Okay, it's a part of the deception. Reading on, verse 12. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Now, is that clear? All who do those things are an abomination to the Lord. That includes astrology, by the way, in that list. Don't do that. Okay, ask the Lord to guide your day. Don't look at the chart by somebody who's been demon-possessed who writes this stuff. Please don't do that. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Whoa. Verse 13. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispossess listened to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. Why? Because he's going to speak to us. Why would you want to listen to that stuff? It's real. Okay, some other time when we did the spiritual warfare series, I gave you some experiences I had in time past with the demonic and casting out demons and so on. But I learned a lot from the demons. But one thing I learned is that they lie to you. They lie. I mean, you start talking to them, you get drawn in. This is pretty cool. I'm talking to a demon from hell. And they lie. They deceive. You can't, you know. Part of it is truth and part of it, they're liars. They lie. Satan is the author of lies, the father of lies. Don't listen to him. Ever. What about Ouija boards? Do they work? Yeah, they work. Yep, they do. Parker Brothers has the patent on Ouija boards, the game company. Do you know where their corporate office is? Salem, Massachusetts. Do I need to say anything more about this? Some of this stuff's not hidden, okay? It's like, really? Salem? Well, yeah. Leviticus 19:31 says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them. I am the Lord your God. God's saying, I'm the Lord your God, not them. Don't seek after them. Okay, a familiar spirit. Does that mean one that you've gotten acquainted with or a friend? No. Words are very important. What is that word? Familiar. Family. Do you see the word family? It's a generational curse. Okay? Where the demonic beings come in from generation to generation, that has to be broken. It's a part of deliverance. When we were dealing with the demonic, it was interesting that we learned that at one point in time we're casting them out, and some didn't want to go, of course. And we said, well, okay, why aren't you leaving? I was invited. You see, people open the doors, and like you invite Yeshua in, they invite the enemy in through various means. This is my house. I was invited here. Whoa. Don't do that. And a lot of it had to do with family curses that had been passed on. No sense about your family. Go through deliverance. If there's something there, it'll surface. We can agitate them. Okay? It'll surface. But some people don't want to be delivered. We learned that. Some people, they get something out of this. They get something from that relationship. I hope it's not you. It's real. It's real. He said, I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And by the way, in verse 27 of that chapter, the mediums got the death penalty. Capital punishment. Okay? In Leviticus 20, verse 6, the person who turns, that's an interesting word. That's teshuvah, who makes a turn. Okay, but this is the wrong one. The person who turns to medium and familiar spirits to prostitute himself, interesting word, with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Is that clear? That's the word of God saying how strong, what a strong course of action he will take. That's why if you start dabbling around with little things, it's really dangerous because it's real and it's seductive and it draws you in. Don't touch it, ever. Don't touch it. It is real. It is real. Halloween is a holy day, a holiday for demons, witches, Satan, and all of his followers in all these forms. And it's not to be celebrated by believers. It's not. It's a feast of Satan. It's Satan's holiday. Okay, why would you want to celebrate that? What's wrong? It's a feast for the Lord of Darkness. If you belong to the Lord of Light, the one who is the light, how can we celebrate the devil? Yet they do. Don't be a part of that, ever. The objects and actions of Halloween represent death and destruction. Okay, and they induce fear. They induce fear. Yeshua came to give life and light and abundance and peace. The total opposite. Let's do that stuff. That's our message. This festival, you know, we have the appointed times. What this is an anti-messianic festival. It's the opposite. It's the anti-messianic festival. The reverse of God's festivals. It's a counterfeit. It's bogus. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you want to hear how I really feel about this man? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, starting with verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what, these are questions that Paul's going to ask. For what fellowship has righteousness and lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? By the way, when Paul met Yeshua on the road, part of his calling, Acts 26 is the clearest of these, Yeshua said, you're going to bring people from darkness to light. That's our commission, to bring people from darkness to light. Don't go the other way. Don't take your kids there, parents. I feel like saying, what's wrong with you? But I won't say that, okay? Verse 15, and what accord has Messiah with Belial, or the devil? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Okay, and for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, and he groups together a series of verses to defend his point. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Notice it's separate from the pagan society. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean. And I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. That whole picture is be separate. We're called to be separate. We're called to be holy. We're called to holiness. That doesn't mean perfection. You sin every day. That's why at the temple, all the sacrifice, every single day. Like I said about a month ago, the priest would be there. Didn't I just see you yesterday? Yeah. It was the same sin. Yeah, I did it again. God provided. We're weak. The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, and we prove it every single day. But we're called to be different. We're called to be holy, set apart. And this is a holiday many believers compromise in. It's harmless and it's fun. It opens doors. It opens doors that can bring a lot of not so good things to your children. Matthew 18. Turn there. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse 5. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Yeshua paid special attention and a special love for children. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the depths of the sea. Parents, don't give an occasion to teach your children how to sin. Okay? Teach them how to worship, how to praise. These little kids come up here, bless me, because they get the right answers. They get ahead of me in the story. I know how it ends. That's good. But don't take a giant step backwards in this holiday. Please. I talked earlier about the Shema. One of the focal points is parents, teach your children. Teach them what? How to love God with all they are, their entire being. How to teach your children. Okay, not the other stuff. Parents, you're accountable. You're accountable. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he will go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. How's the training going in the holidays? When you train them when they're little to know the difference, they won't want to do that. It can be embarrassing, too. My daughter a number of years ago, was in line at the store. I think it was Miriam in the cart. Just a real little thing. And it was at Halloween. And people were buying all this stuff, right? Little Miriam, just talking, says to the lady behind her, do you know that this is a satanic holiday and you're celebrating Satan and worshiping him by buying? It's like, she's just this little kid. It's like, do you know that? It was like, whoa, okay. They get it. Okay, they get it. And they can reach out and tell the neighbors. So it was embarrassing. It was kind of funny. It's like, well, that's good. She's concerned about that lady who's buying this stuff. Don't you know? And most people don't know. They have. If you ask them, where's this holiday? I don't know. I've done it. When I was little, we did it. I get candy. I get food. I get apples. Now you know. It's the parents' responsibility to teach and be an example of righteousness to our children, of doing the right thing, celebrating the right holiday, and not doing it with the wrong one, and teaching them why we're different. Why are we different? Because it means that. It means we're different. At Passover, we eat different. Our sandwiches are really flat, okay? And your friends will say, well, how can you do that? Well, that's the occasion to tell the story of Passover. And why we do that? It's God opens the doors to be a witness. Why do you put this hut in your backyard for a week? And the occasion to tell the story. It's a symbol of what God did. You get the occasion to tell a story. That's what we do. We're not to do what the world does. So parents, teach your children the truth. You are now accountable, as of right now. Don't compromise your values. I hope they're these, or your standards. I hope they're these. Don't compromise. Which gives the occasion for Keith Green's song, No Compromise. But that's what that's about. Don't compromise. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't compromise with the world. And you know that people will respect you if you stand on your convictions. You don't have to be nasty about it. Just stand strong on your convictions. Invite them to your house to have a fun time and not do all that other nonsense. Be nice, but don't compromise. God has given us his holidays that glorify him. We celebrate them. So, who do you want to meet with on the holidays? Okay? What doors or entries do you want to open into your life, your family's life? These spirits are very real. It's a very real battle that's taking place over your soul and over the souls of your children. It's between the powers of darkness and the powers of light. Open the door to the power of light, to Yeshua, and fight against the powers of darkness. In Ephesians 6, Paul teaches us to stand against the enemy, not to just hide, but to actively go against. It's an active process. We stand against. You can pray against. Okay? They do. No slack. In Acts chapter 16, turn there. Acts 16. See, this stuff's all through the Bible. Acts 16. Philippi, you know, that's where the book of Philippians was written. Great, phenomenal, wonderful book. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. Acts 16, starting with verse 16. Now it happened, as we went to prayer. You know, they were praying people. These missionaries were praying people. And notice Luke says we. Luke was there. He was an eyewitness. They went to prayer. Now look what happens when you pray. Things that agitates the enemy. Prayer agitates the enemy. That a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. As they prayed, she was agitated and brought her masters much profit from fortune-telling. It's real. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Well, the demon was speaking the truth, but the tone of voice was probably mockery. All right? So demons can speak the truth. You see that in the Gospels as well, where they say, I know who you are, Yeshua. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. He says, be quiet. It's bad advertising. Think about it. Okay? It really is. You don't want that kind of advertising. So continuing on. She did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, I love that. He was annoyed, okay? Turned and said to the girl, oops, that's not what it says. He said to the spirit, he spoke to the demon. That's reality. Wasn't some sick, no, it was a demon that he speaks to. He's speaking to a demon. And he said, I command you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace. What, you know what the word drag means in Greek? It means drag. They drug him. Yes. You guys are good. You guys are smart. Did you notice that power was gone when the demon was gone? The girl didn't have power. The demon had power. They lost their income. Isn't that what they're saying about the marijuana law? How much money it's going to bring to us? It's justified on the basis of bringing in money for the state where they misspent your tax dollars. So now they want to use drugs to bring in money. That's the justification. Sounds familiar, huh? Some things just don't change. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews, wow, back then Jews cast out demons, huh? Exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans. Notice the plain words, being Jews, being Romans. That's really a cool thing. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. When they laid many stripes on them, they're in trouble for casting out a demon. Okay, that's what the deal is. They threw them into prison. You know what the word throw means in Greek? Throw, that's right. You guys are good. They threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Boy, they've got him now, right? Who's got who? Watch this. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Whoa, got him now, huh? Right where I want you. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Look at that. They're singing. And they with their feet and their hands in the stocks. And the prisoners were listening. Suddenly, here's a suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, by the way, these are open doors. Who opened these doors? You have open doors and closed doors. See the contrast? Seeing the prison doors open, supposing they had fled, drew his sword, was about to kill himself. And Paul said with a loud voice, don't harm yourself. We're all okay. We're here. And he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Wait a minute. These guys are locked up. Now the guard is the one who's trembling before them. And he brought him out and said, and here's the line you want. What must I do to be saved? Whoa. In the midst of the demonic conflict, the casting out of a demon, getting in trouble, the authority says, okay, I know you. You have the answer. You have the real power. What must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, and you will be saved and your household. And this was the birthing of the congregation at Philippi that Paul would later write to. It was birthed, really, in the casting out of a demon. And the coming of faith is someone who sees the power of light and the power of darkness and says, I want that power. Hope that's you. You want that power. You're accountable. That's the truth. We need to do the truth and stand for righteousness and welcome the Lord of life, the Lord of light, and proclaim him. And you can bless people this weekend when they try and curse you. Be a blessing, especially to your kids. Let's stand. We're going to pray. And then you're going to sit down. We're not finished quite yet. Let's all stand.